A man was working in the produce department, and he was asked by a lady if she could buy a half a head of lettuce. He replied, "Half a head? Are you serious? God grows these in whole heads, and that's how we sell them." "You mean," she persisted, "that after all these years I've shopped here, you won't sell me a half a head of lettuce?" "Look," he said, "if you like, I'll go and ask the manager." She indicated that that would be appreciated, so the young man marched to the front of the store. You won't believe this, but there's a lame, braided lady back there who wants to know if she can buy a half a head of lettuce. He noticed that the manager was gesturing and turned around to see the lady standing behind him, obviously having followed him to the front of the store. "And this nice lady was wondering if she could buy the other half," he concluded. Well, later in the day, the manager cornered the young man and said, "This was the finest example of thinking on your feet I have ever seen." "Where did you learn that?" "I grew up in Grand Rapids. And if you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that it's known for its great hockey teams and its ugly women." The manager's face flushed, and he interrupted, "My wife is from Grand Rapids. And which hockey team did she play for?" Another quick little funny story, maybe not so funny. On a windswept hill in an English country churchyard stands a drab gray slate tombstone. The quaint stone bears an epitaph not easily seen unless you stoop over and look closely, and the faint etchings read, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." We're looking tonight at a study of the tongue. I love the delayed reactions. James chapter 3 tonight. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We are concluding our study here on the tongue, as James covers this subject in 12 verses here in chapter 3. I'd like to read those verses for us. I will review where we have been last time we were together, and then we will conclude this matter this evening. Verse 1 of chapter 3, James 3, 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Verse 5. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 9. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." As we can see from this passage, the tongue is very powerful. In the beginning verses, you see that it is very influential. It's used for teaching, it's used for communicating, but the tongue is also a liability. It's a liability in our relationships, it's a liability in responsibility, judgment as we stand before God. We will be held accountable for the things that we say. So in other words, James is advising, don't quickly desire the role of a teacher. And he's speaking to believers in a church-type setting, mainly, but I don't believe only in that setting. All teachers have a responsibility to use their tongue and to use it well to communicate truth, right things in right ways. We see then that the tongue can be controlling of the body. The principle we learn is that we must control the tongue rather than allowing it to control us. One's speech is a measure of one's spiritual maturity. There we see in verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. We know that the tongue is the voice of the heart, thus affecting the entire body, whether for good or for bad. If I speak an offensive word to a guy on the street, I may end up with a black eye. If I speak kind words to a friend, I may receive a hug. The tongue not only is control, can be controlling of the body, but can also be very destructive to the body and to the environment around. The principle is that we need to be aware of the extent to which a tongue can destroy. James likened it to a fire, and we know very well that all it takes is just a small little spark and the right kind of tinder to get a roaring fire. He likened it to a wild animal that has not tamed and cannot be tamed by men. The tongue by itself is unrestrained evil. It's full of poison, like the venom of a serpent. So that being said, I trust that we hear the warning. We've got to watch our tongue. We got to watch what we say and how we say it. It is very, very powerful. Now let's tonight look at verse 9. And we'll look at verses 9 through 12 this evening. First of all, we see that the tongue, not only can it be controlling of the body, not only can it be destructive to the body, but it can be hypocritical. It can be two-faced. Look at this verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so therefore, what we're seeing here is James is addressing believers. He's addressing you and me, and he's saying something that they might be all too familiar with. I say good, blessed things about my God, but then I turn around and I say horrible, unloving, hateful things about my fellow man. I dare say that is something that we all at some point in our lives have probably done. And James's call or admonition to us is we have got to be consistent in the right use of our tongue. We need to control that tongue rather than allowing it to control us. We need to be aware of the extent to which it can destroy but we need to be consistent. Who are we really in our hearts, deep within our souls? I'm sure we're familiar with Jesus' words to the Pharisees. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 12. O generation of vipers. I mean, this is Jesus talking to Pharisees, religious leaders of the Jews, who stood up before him seeking to trip him up, get him in trouble, so that he could be condemned and killed. They were religious leaders that spoke nice things on the outside but had dirty hearts on the inside. And you know, Jesus saw right through it all. And it just didn't end with the Pharisees. He sees right through you. And he sees right through me. He calls them a generation of vipers. How can you, he says, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's remember that. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Some powerful words from the Lord Jesus. But what's the principle? The principle is this. From the heart, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the tongue is the voice of our heart. So what is coming out? Is it healthy? Is it right? Is it pure? It is a testimony of what is within. And James addresses something that we often will probably, we want to try to get a loophole. In other words, oh, I can speak good things. Now the point is, can you do that consistently? Or are you a two-faced hypocrite? Are you a hypocrite? You understand now that if you have a heart righteous before the Lord, then your tongue will communicate consistent righteous things, righteous truth. If you have a heart that is not righteous, ungodly, God sees it, absolutely. I don't see it. I can't see your heart. But I will tell you that you cannot consistently speak righteous things. If you're like me, one thing that I guess bothers me, I could say, is that when I see or come across professing Christians, that when they're in my presence, and a lot of times they'll know that I'm a pastor, they will speak great things. They will be the first to volunteer, first to read scripture. They will be involved in worship and all of those things. But then their testimony is tarnished by what I see from a distance, what I hear from a family member. And yes, I know that we are not to get secondhand information and base beliefs upon that. But the sad reality is that our reputation goes before us. And we need to be consistent. You know, one thing that my wife and I, and I'll speak for myself, seeing as she's not here tonight, one thing that I want to be faithful in is I want to be faithful here and faithful in my home. You realize I've got 5 young children. They will say what they're thinking. And if I am inconsistent, and I may stand up here and smile, and I preach, and I'm happy, and I'm glorious, or whatever it might be, and then I go home, and I'm mean, I'm unloving and I am unkind. That's going to come out. You're going to know about it. You're going to hear about it. And the same is true for you and your scenario. You have coworkers. You have family members. You have a husband. You have a wife. And eventually, our reputations are out. And, you know, as hard as we may try, hey, you just keep that between us. You know, it doesn't last forever. James says you got to be consistent. You know, what is that statement that Joshua said to the people of Israel? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Well, choose you this day. Your tongue and how you're going to use it. Don't be hypocritical and two-faced. Notice that James addresses this in a father-child type relationship. You bless God, even the Father, but you curse men who are made in the likeness of God. Think about that. Men and women were made as persons, able to feel, able to choose, able to reason, able to relate with Almighty God. We are God's prized creation, and we have been given dominion over the entire earth. Cursing men, I would liken it to cursing or beating up on the son of an NFL linebacker. It's just not a smart idea. You're going to get to meet the dead eventually. Genesis talks about how we're made in the image of God. Verse 26 of chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We're valuable in God's sight. And if God values people, so should we. If God values people in the way He speaks of them, so should we. Out of the same mouth, James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And he straightforward says, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And that is a present tense infinitive. In other words, these things should not keep on happening. The obvious idea is James knows of this happening. He knows of it going on, and it's continuing to happen. He says that has got to stop. I trust we understand how destructive our tongues can be. Have you ever had something come out of your mouth and it has destroyed a perfectly wonderful relationship? And it's taken a long time. Maybe it's never happened. The reconciliation process. That's another message. But the tongue, it's a powerful, powerful little member of our body. Verse 11 and 12, he illustrates it with these truths. A fountain and a tree. Or a plant. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter? That word for sweet is a word that is elsewhere used in conjunction with honey. The flavor, the taste of honey. Bitter would mean harsh, or we know what bitter, the lemon juice bitter, the thing that kind of makes you cringe and your eyebrows twitch. It's bitter. Does a fountain, now I want you to notice here, excuse me. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? I love how specific he is. Because, hey, you could go out to a fountain, and right when it comes out of the ground, it could be sweet. 100 yards down the road, it could be bitter. And his point is, we got one tongue, one spot, and we cannot have two different things coming out of this place. It's got to be consistent. And obviously, he is arguing for the believer to be consistently righteous in his use of the tongue. And we're going to follow up in our next study by looking at wisdom and what that is. Verse 12, can the fig tree, picture a fig tree or a tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Is that, can it produce that? Well, the obvious answer is no. It does not naturally produce olives. No. And we may say, oh, that's ridiculous. Well, listen, believer, it's ridiculous for unkind, cursing things to come out of our mouths as believers. That's the point he's trying to make. That's how ridiculous it is. We are to be careful and consistent in the use of our tongue. Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So tonight, we turn our attention to our own hearts. Obviously, Jesus took this connection and he took it inward to the heart. So let's just begin. Let's think about ourselves. Let's think about our speech and our mouths and the way we communicate. Let's ask ourselves some tough questions tonight. All right, let's think. Let's grade ourselves. How are we doing in the use of our tongue? Okay, how are we? How does God view what comes out of our mouths? And I'm not just talking about in church. Let's talk across the board. Let God give you a grade. How about this? How do those that know you best, how would they grade your use of the tongue? You and I, we've been given a tongue, and it is a blessing. Truly, with it, we can bless many. And may God, by his grace, help us to use it for that purpose. May we not fall prey to the hypocrisy, to being two-faced. May we be aware of the extent to which a tongue can destroy. May we control this tongue rather than allowing it to control us. And by controlling, that is under the Spirit's power that we can control our tongue. I again refer you to Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and as you walk in the Spirit, God changes your heart, makes you more in his image. And as your heart changes, so your tongue will follow. If you have a trouble with your tongue, check your heart. You have trouble with your tongue, check your heart. For truly, the tongue is the voice of your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you for our time. I thank you for this study and its precious, precious truth. I am so grateful for these instructions concerning the tongue. Lord, we benefit incredibly from this as you help us to know not only how to get along with one another, how to show love to one another, but how to love you and to be consistent in your sight. Oh God, help us when we fail to make things right and to seek to walk consistently before you. And again, God, I want to give all praise and honor to you and to your power, to your Spirit, for it is truly only in you that we are able to live righteously. And may we be people who walk in your Spirit, who are submitted to you and to your ways. Oh God, bless these dear people. Encourage them this week in their many roles. And may we all be people that are marked by a righteous tongue. In Jesus' name, amen.